ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Beasley switches it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Just when I thought I was going to make my way to studio, it is a U-turn. Thank you to the phone call from Aaron Raybould, producer extraordinaire. I whip back home. Here we are on the air. Let's hope this internet holds. And we could do an over-under on that. But we got... Boy, this was not the night to have any problems because there was so much to talk about with this tonight. And I do want to get your thoughts on this tonight at 713-780-3776. There are tons of supporters groups here in Houston. We have seen what supporters globally have done when it comes to kind of standing up against this whole breakaway league. We're going to get into it tonight. I'm going to give you some of my thoughts on it, but I think it's important to get yours as well. Again, 713-780-3776. And this first hour, phone lines are going to be open. So you want the opportunity to come on, be a little bit brave, get on the radio and talk as opposed to just typing on Twitter. Well, now's your opportunity. We'll also talk the Dynamo win over San Jose. We'll talk about the Dynamo heading to Portland. We'll talk about the opening weekend of Major League Soccer. But we are going to start with the Super League. We also will have some great guests on the show tonight. Eddie Robinson is going to join me in the first hour, in about a half hour. We also will have on the program tonight the one and only Todd Ramos, head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Memo Rodriguez, off his great game in the opener against San Jose. He's on the show tonight. Plus, we'll get the Portland side of things from their color analyst, Ross Smith, who has been on this show before. So do not, I repeat, do not Super League my UEFA Champions League. You got that? And also, don't NBA my MLS. All right, so there's two big, heavy-hitting statements off the top. Now, if you followed the chain of events with the Super League today, you have seen some amazing reaction. So we're going to talk about it front and center tonight. The American owners of these teams, yeah, are getting hammered by some due to their lack of understanding of the history of these clubs, demonstrated by their desire to form the Super League. Is that fair or unfair? 713-780-3776. Liverpool, Manchester United, American ownership, Arsenal. How's that make us look? Like we don't know anything about football? Welcome in, everybody. 97.5 and 92.5. Your opinion, important as always. Have a take on the Super League and now the exodus of teams after this firebomb was dropped on Sunday. I'll tell you, there are some real rats in this thing that are scattering, and I'll tell you a couple of them. Premier League managers did not know this was going down. They were kind of caught by surprise. And you can tell, by the way, some of them were interviewed. We're going to play some of that sound. The show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Call us with your thoughts again on the Super League. English teams are out. Yes, they are out. All Premier League teams have jumped ship on the Super League. Arsenal have apologized in an open letter to their fans. Manchester United has listened, quote, carefully to their fans and the UK government and stakeholders. Tottenham and Daniel Levy, their chairman, said the club regrets anxiety and upset this proposal has caused. Liverpool has said their involvement has been discontinued. Manchester City were the first club to pull out after Chelsea had said that they were drawing up papers to themselves pull out. So owners, shamelessly get on your knees and beg for forgiveness. Bow down and never forget you have customers. And in this case, the fans and supporters groups have proved not to be sheep, not to be followers. And these fans and supporters are the story. Today they stopped the bus before today's Chelsea game. Liverpool fans said that they were going to take banners out of the stadium. You know, I asked the other day, who are the gatekeepers of the game? Who's going to speak up on behalf of the game and its history? And not just a bunch of owners who want to have this protected league where there really is no relegation, where each and every year you know you're going to make boatloads and bucketfuls of money without any skin in the game. Gatekeepers, the fans, the supporters, they are the superstars. And maybe the owners will begin to listen to them a little bit more. So once the supporters got this ball rolling, guess what happens? Then you get players speaking out. Kevin De Bruyne, a whole bunch of big names. Harry Maguire goes to the board of directors, and I'm not sure who the other player was, and says, what are we doing here? We're not for this. So the players needed the door opened. The door was opened by supporters. And now the players are weighing in. And now you got Ed Woodward no longer at Manchester United. He's gone. Pretty remarkable stuff. Ed Woodward stepping down from Manchester United as executive vice chairman. He had been there since 2012. You remember how embattled he was. He had people go to his house. He's considered by United fans not to be a football man. I mean, we all know that. His decision to depart has moved forward now, has been accelerated. Now, remember, he was also in a role with UEFA because there were talks with UEFA about the Champions League going on. He was on UEFA's Professional Football Strategy Council. Apparently, Mr. Woodward was a bit two-faced. He's on the board with UEFA. He's agreeing to the reforms last Thursday evening. Meanwhile, he's working on the other end of this in the breakaway of the Super League with United involved with that. So Super League then drops on Sunday and is a part of a huge bombshell. I mean, this thing's been like watching the stock market today. Super League announcement, a bombshell. So UEFA said that Woodward seemed to be all on board with everything with UEFA, and then Sunday, it's obvious, he was working both sides of it. Now, Woodward was a part of a bunch of poor transfers. To be fair to him, he has stood by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I'm not sure he had much of a choice. I don't know what changing him out would have done at any point, despite the criticism. But this is remarkable stuff. Agnelli at Juventus, another one. So the Super League, listen, this is all about money. This is all about making money and enriching a specific group of clubs. Now they've broken away. All the Premier League teams are gone. I'm sure Barcelona, the others will follow. They can't have a Super League without the six Premier League teams. So here's my take on what the Super League was. Yeah, of course they're going to get filthy rich on this. Of course they've lost money during the pandemic. Of course the pandemic and COVID can be a wonderful opportunity to release employees, to kill off sports programs if you're universities and colleges in this country. Yeah, it's a wonderful veil of secrecy. Some of it is legit, but it's also been used for the dark arts. Let's be honest. So budgets are unknown. And when you are fighting as the elite club in the world for Champions League dollars, which is multi-millions. It's big money. It's where you got to be. You got to be in that game. If You are fighting for that. And somebody says, well, hey, let's all band together as 12 teams. You know, we're the biggest brands. Look at us. We're Real Madrid. We're Barcelona, you know, one club. And, you know, hey, we're Liverpool, you know, never walk alone. You know, who can stand up to us? Nobody can. Let's go form our own league. We'll all enrich ourselves. By the way, these teams all operate on a they're all operating on in the wrong direction. So you can see why they want to go and start this league. The problem with it was, though, it totally homogenizes competition. Because there's no relegation. So there's no more skin in the game. So when you're putting together budgets for these massive teams, which is beyond beyond my skill set, for sure, think about how nice it is just to know that you have this money coming in and you can't possibly be relegated and you can just plan your budget out every year. Sounds like good business. The end of the day, though, the supporters came there. The elimination of the jeopardy of being relegated or missing out on a Champions League qualification, huge money. Stability equals revenue. Super League brings that, or would have brought that. And then Super League of backers, oh, we got too many matches against minnows. You know what? I like the games against minnows. I like seeing an upset. I like seeing Leicester City win the Premier League. I want that possibility to exist. Don't steal that possibility. And by the way, it would have got boring. The same teams playing each other, it would have got boring. And it may come down again one day that they try to do this again. This whole promise of a trickle-down effect to smaller clubs, yeah, I'm not sure about that. You're already smacking trickle-down by even coming up with this idea to do this. The essential part of competition in a game is possibility. I mean, what you turn on sports movies, what are they about? They're about the underdog. Come on. Why do we not like that? I would not have watched it. I would have gone to Argentina and more leagues of integrity. And it just bothers me sometimes where the game is going. One of the officials told BBC, and I can't remember which club he was from, he said, this is not another extreme form of negotiation. He said, quote, this is happening, even if UEFA backs down. So this guy, whoever, whichever club he was from, and I have to find this out, he was coming in with really strong rhetoric. Now, some people are going to say, oh, this was done on purpose, and they're going to think they're geniuses, and, you know, it was done on purpose so they can go back to UEFA and leverage UEFA and get more things. Look, UEFA in the Champions League isn't perfect. We know that. But don't start talking to me about the Champions League and UEFA, okay, which has been around, because that's a completely different discussion. The dilution of the world's greatest league. Can you imagine that? The Premier League, all these teams would be pulled out of there. Manchester United, Manchester City. And the race for the title would be without those clubs and their connection and their history with the West Hams and the Newcastles, who, by the way, have lots of fans. And by the way, they have deep, deep history. So this thing to me had a really cynical feel of opportunism. And again, COVID's a great veil of secrecy, a great backdrop for many decisions. But if you look, we're constantly looking for the next greatest thing, Nations League, the potential of Liga MX and MLS combining. Would you like that? Do we really want to muddle those two together? Sure, I'd love for the champion of MLS, the champion of Liga MX, play every year and big prize money on it and make it a big deal. You bet. Whose league's better? You know, based on one game. But do you really want to combine these two leagues? Would that be healthy? 713-780-3776. Do you think NFL fans, if there was something like this going on, and probably will never happen with the way the NFL is set up and sports is in this country, but if some teams tried to break away and form their own league, do you think NFL fans would boycott it? 713-780-3776. The backlash, by the way, came pretty quickly. Fans got angry at their own clubs and the decisions they were making. And in the end, the supporters groups are the real gatekeepers. We're going to have 12 teams, three to be added. Well, all the Premier League teams are gone. Fans think of the betrayal of club history and their Premier League. And you saw Gary Neville come out in just incredibly passionate form. They had the sign up, created by the poor, stolen by the rich. Yeah. No question this would have altered the landscape of the sport in Europe. I don't think there's any question. All right. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. We got a lot of stuff to get to tonight. I do want to hear from you. Hey, Houston supporters groups, Culis, Real Madrid, Pena, Houston Red Army. I'm calling you guys out. Where's your takes on this? Space Citizens. How about Houston Wolves? I'd love to hear from any of you guys. Liverpool supporters group. What are you guys thinking? How would this affected you if they jumped to the Super League? Could somebody let me know? Step up to the plate. Hey, they were stepping up to the plate, by the way, in Austin last night. A lot of callers up there. Let's get some here. 713-780-3776 is the number. Show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. You get in a car accident, a boat accident, a motorcycle accident. John and his firm will be there. And by the way, it's DaspitLaw.com. Can't say enough about their sponsorship of this show, presenting sponsorship, and the show in Austin. Okay, we'll take a break. We've got more to come.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
I have obviously no issues with the Champions League. I like the competitive factor of football as well. So I like the fact that West Ham might play Champions League next year. No problem. I don't want them to be honest, because we want to do that. But I like that they have the chance and all these kind of things. So, yes. What can I say? It's really not easy. What I want to say as well is, I heard a few things, but what I really don't like is because of, Liverpool Football Group is much more than some decisions. Yeah? And football is the most important parts of football are the supporters and the team, and we have to make sure that there's really nothing gets in between that, because I heard we put banners down at Anfield or stuff like this. I don't understand that, because the players didn't do anything wrong when we didn't win all the games, but we go with everything, and how he said we want to qualify for the Champions League next year. So we have to stick together, and when other people from other clubs use our anthem against us, I don't like that as well. So we can show that nobody has to walk alone in these moments. So there are things we have to sort, obviously, but that has nothing to do with the football, nothing to do with the relationship between the supporters and the team. That's for me really important, because in tough times you have to show that you really stick together. That doesn't mean you have to agree to everything, but again, the boys didn't do anything wrong apart from not winning all football games, and so I really want to make sure that everybody knows that.
All right, I love Jurgen Klopp, but I don't think taking the banners down was anything against the boys. That was to make a stronger statement to the boys who own the club. And you could tell Klopp was a little off there, and he's not normally off, and he's the best. I mean, I absolutely love this guy, and I wanted to hear him step up for the game, and I think he did, and be an anti-Super League. So let's get your phone calls at 713-780-3776. Let's go right to Patrick. Patrick, what do you have?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing? So I'm a Tottenham supporter, have been for decades, lived in London and all that. It's been an interesting week for us. I mean, first of all, starting off, yes, the Super League announcement, and then we dropped Jose the day after, pretty much. As far as Jose goes, I just want to say I think a lot of us are glad to see him gone. I don't want to speak for all Spurs supporters, but his style is just not what we like. We'd rather go down dramatically than play this park the bus, style. I think he lost most of the team. I don't know, how much we want to go into, Jose and so forth, but good riddance, I think. As far as the Super League thing, as far as from a Tottenham perspective, I think Levy is, he's a world-class businessman. I think he runs a team as such. I see his perspective. I do respect him on that level. I do think that he and Lewis, the head of the VNIC, I think they lose the perspective of the hardcore supporter. I think even with the new stadium, you lose a lot of the energy that you had at White Hart Lane and what have you. So I just think that when you take such a business perspective, and like you said, they want to guarantee income. Tottenham, we're probably not going to. I mean, unless a miracle happens, I don't think we're going to make the Champions League next year. And I think if a team like Tottenham can kind of sneak into a Super League, I think Levy's going to do that all day. And I think they backed out just the same way they went in, if you ask me. I don't think they were – I doubt they were one of the major players in that. And I think they just kind of – if you look at the statement from Tottenham, they just kind of snuck out. So I just wanted to – I don't hear a lot of Tottenham takes on your show, so I just wanted to give a few thoughts.
Yeah. Patrick, wonderful. I very much thank you for that. I would just say this is the third straight team – Jose is left with a locker room that's not a healthy one. My understanding is, talking to one of my colleagues over in London, that the locker room was lost. I mean, it was lost at Chelsea and Real Madrid as well. So I we could do a deeper dive on him, but I think I want to stay for the moment on the Super League. And thank you very much for that great take. And I love the fact that style before, parking the bus and defending deep and playing ugly football. I mean, they never played the soccer they did under Pochettino. So thank you for that take coming from a Tottenham supporter. Thank you, Patrick. Let's keep it moving. Let's go to Luke. Luke, what's on your mind, Luke?
Hey, Glenn. First, I want to start off saying I'm an Arsenal fan. It's just been a rough 10, 20 years for us, but I always feel bad until I hear from the Spurs fan that I can ask all that better. But I just want to say a little bit about the Super League. It's for an Arsenal. I think I would have in my, just supporting them week in, week out. Seeing the state of the club, we already have, one of the most toxic home environments. Because we have, the highest ticket prices and everything, we're already pricing out, the diehard fans. And, the traveling for this European Super League, it's not a train ride anymore. It's for most of these games. You're going to have to fly in to go to, week in, week out games. But for me, I would just kind of stop supporting the Arsenal. And I talked to some friends, and we would start supporting more local. They're more FC Dallas supporters, and I would start – I already support Dynamo, but I would invest more time into that. But I guess one thing I want to hear from you is just kind of the changes that are going to happen at these clubs. You've already seen it from Man U. I want to see what happens with the Glazers and Kroenke, and that's about all I got.
All right. Thank you very much, Luke. Well, I don't really know. I mean, what I do know is Manchester United has already made it very clear Ed Woodward's going to be gone. So I went over there over a year ago, and, people still unloading on him and the lack of understanding of the tradition of the club and the ownership was out of sight when it came to history, the fact that it was born with working class people. That's pretty big that he's on his way out now. So That's the first thing we've heard. The only thing I can say that I've heard about Daniel Levy is he's backing it up right now like they all are, saying the anxiety and upset that they caused the fans, they feel very bad for that. Javier, what's on your mind, Javier, tonight?
Thank you, Glenn, for taking my call. Like you said, and like most of the fans agree, we don't like the idea of the Super League to be taking place. But and I think that UEFA and FIFA should have a strong stand against these clubs that want to form these leagues. If they want to continue with the plans, then I believe they should ban the Messi, the Ronaldo from playing in the World Cup. I mean, take a strong stand, but at the same time, you want them back, because eventually Real Madrid and Barcelona, they will be back. And I think this is a great opportunity to get things done right, because we cannot let this small group of clubs gather all the money from us, the fans. And I think that I would like the middle teams, like the Villarreal from Spain, the Deportivo La Coruña, or in, like you said, you mentioned Newcastle United from England, to move up. I would like a more even competition, and I think this is the perfect opportunity to achieve that. Thank you, Glenn Davies, for taking my call.
Javier, great stuff. We appreciate that. Let's bring in Eddie Robinson. Eddie and I will be calling the Dynamo Portland game on Saturday night. Eddie, of course, you know, former Dynamo defender and an excellent one at that, winning multiple MLS Cups. Eddie, how are you?
Good, Glenn. How are you tonight?
You know, it's an exciting and interesting time. It's been like watching the stock market with this Super League and the fact that teams are pulling out now. And I would just start it off to you by just saying, you know, what incredible gatekeepers supporters groups around the world have become in putting what looks to be a stop to this, having their organizations and their clubs retreat and basically become the gatekeepers, open the door so that then players now can come out and speak out against it as well.
Oh, without question. These people, they're not stupid. They know what's going on here, and this money play by the large clubs over here, and we're going to save football, this and that. No, it's going to destroy football, because if you think about the money that these teams earn, especially in the top divisions, that all the teams, not just the big money teams, but all the teams earn from television rights and sponsorship deals within the league, when you take these big clubs out of that, there's a lot of value that's lost from those sponsorship deals. So they're going to ask for money back. They're going to sue. So not only are these teams going to lose money from those sponsorship deals, but they're also going to lose money in the long run. And this is not only, this is on top of the loss of ticket sales, the loss of concession sales, the loss of parking, the loss of memorabilia sales, jerseys, hats, scarves. So this would be like double jeopardy for all the teams that aren't involved in this. And there's no way they could survive but a couple months. And these fan bases see that. They understand that. They've got family, and they've got generations within their family that goes back 3, 4, 5 generations, that this is where they learned their passion for this club and this sport. And it's so important that they do stand up right now, and I love seeing it.
Well, you know, it was interesting because I'm like, when this thing first broke Sunday, I'm going, okay, who's standing up for the game? Who's it going to be? You know, probably not the coaches right off the bat, because one, we found out they didn't really even know about this, a lot of them. And then number two, you know, they're still being paid by these guys. It's not going to be the players. So I'm just thinking it's got to be the supporters groups. And, man, to see them do what they did is pretty phenomenal. And I think by them doing that, that was kind of, all right, here we are. You know, there still is a soul. I'm not sure if something like this happened in some shape or form, or something like this happened here with an NFL team, I think people would still follow it like sheep. I really do. I I don't know if the history that runs that deep for American fans anymore. I think it's more about the social. It's more about the beer. What type of food are they serving? I do hope fans vote with their pocketbooks, because you found out that's the one thing that'll get people to pay attention to you. And by the way, most of these big clubs are operating in debt. Okay, to think that Barcelona is $1.76 billion in debt is mind-blowing to me. I don't even know what that number looks like. And to think that they're at that level, well, then you can understand why these teams after a pandemic are trying to pull a fast one here, have their own league, have no relegation, no skin in the game, and everybody's going to get, $4 billion richer. That solves a lot of problems. But I'm glad that the supporters really stood up for this and stood up for the soul of the game, because it's renewed my faith. Faith restored, Eddie.
Yeah, and it's something somebody brought up a really good point on Twitter today, is that all of these teams and these clubs and these greedy owners did something that no one else has been able to do. They've brought every single person, regardless of race, religion, political affiliation, together for one cause, right? With everything that's going on in the world right now, and people are divided in so many different ways, this is one thing where everybody is on the same page. And I thought that was a really good point. And
that is a good one.
Absolutely true.
You want to know something? I think if we got all the divisive, swept the divisive people out in the U.S., we'd all be getting along a lot better, too. But I don't want to go there.
Oh, that's a question.
Yeah, no question. All right, so I want to play the Gary Neville soundbite. And Gary Neville kind of kicked this off. And, man, was he passionate.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have this ready. Right, Aaron? All right, fire away.
Well, the reaction to it is that it's been damned, and rightly so. I'm a Manchester United fan and have been for 40 years of my life, but I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted. I'm disgusted with Manchester United and Liverpool most. I mean, Liverpool, they pretend they own, you'll never walk alone, the people's club, the fans' club. Manchester United, 100 years, born out of workers around here, and they're breaking away into a league without competition that they can't be relegated from. It's an absolute disgrace, and honestly, we have to wrestle back the power in this country from the clubs at the top of this league, and that includes my club. And I've been calling for 12 months as part of another group for an independent regulator to bring checks and balances in place to stop this happening. It's pure greed. They're imposters. They're imposters. They're nothing to do. The owners of this club, the owners of Liverpool, the owners of Chelsea, the owners of Manchester City, they're nothing to do with football in this country. There are 100-odd years of history in this country from fans that have lived and loved these clubs. And they need protecting. The fans need protecting. I've benefited from football hugely. I've made money out of football. I invest money into a football club. Now, I'm not against money in football, but the principles and ethos of fair competition and the rights to play the game so that Leicester win the league, they go into the Champions League. Manchester United aren't even in the Champions League. Arsenal aren't even in the Champions League. You watched them earlier on today. They're absolute shambles of a football club at the moment. Tottenham aren't in the Champions League. And they want a God-given right to be in there. They're an absolute joke. And honestly, the time has come now. Independent regulators, stop these clubs having the power base. Enough is enough.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Eddie, hold that one right there. We'll come back. We got more with Eddie, and we'll continue on here. That was Gary Neville. By the way, Gary Neville is a part owner of Salford United. He owns a bunch of hotels and investment in the Manchester area. So this is a guy who's putting his money back into Manchester. And by the way, he says he's a Manchester United fan. He was a Manchester United player, okay? He really got the ball rolling with that impassioned piece of work right there. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We got more Eddie Robinson. We're going to play you a couple goal calls. We'll talk some Dynamo in Portland. But we want you to call in. Call in and join Eddie and I, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Thoughts on Super League, thoughts on what Gary Neville just said, and thoughts on Dynamo Portland. It's all on the table. Quick word here for BMW. I've leased, I've bought. It's Advantage BMW, remember this, in Midtown. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go down and see Justin, go down and see Steven. They'll get you hooked up. Mention the show, even. I drive a 5 Series in the past, now in a SUV. Love it. The other thing I loved, I'm not one of the handy guys like Eddie Robinson who gets under the hood of the car. I wish I never got that gene. I wish I had. But they're going to take you through everything. Sales, service, finance, and customer service is off the charts. That's what I like. Get yourself in a 357 Series. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. We'll take a break. It's John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, presenting Soccer Matters here tonight.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
Pascher got a lot of targets in front of him. Tyler Pascher. It's a wide opener, Rudy. It's through. It is a wide opener, Rudy. And Maxi Rudy has stuck home goal number two here at Houston. Oh, good use of the body by Rodriguez. Can he get there? Martinkowski stuck. And Memo Rodriguez has opened the scoring here. 2021.
Big game for Memo Rodriguez and a big game for Maxi Arruti, and everyone's a winner. By the way, a couple things here. Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga had nothing to do with the Super League. So consider that when you watch your football in the future. And secondly, if you remember, and Liverpool fans of course do, the legendary manager Bill Shankly. Well, Bill Shankly's grandson said that he would be happy, given the chance, to see his statue removed from Anfield. And he said, what hurts most is that Liverpool has a history and tradition created by him. He's talking about the legendary Shankly, of doing things the right way. And to be one of the six clubs pushing for this move is unacceptable. So, man, what a backlash. Phenomenal. All right, we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, Glenn Davis, Eddie Robinson. Eddie, let's switch gears here a little to the Houston Dynamo. We'll take phone call, 713-780-3776. Off to a great start. We had a great time calling that first game. Two great goals put together from the Dynamo. Give us your pros and cons.
Pros was attitude. The Dynamo were fantastic throughout the whole game, high press, doing exactly what Tab Ramos had said they were going to do from the start. Especially, I think Tab got the midfield right. I don't think it was a night for Derek Jones and for Darwin Serin alongside of Matias Vera. I think the playmaking ability of Memo Rodriguez, the veteran knowledge and understanding of the game with Joe Corona alongside of Matias Vera was the right group based on the way that San Jose played. I think he got it right. What's going to be interesting now is to see if Tab Ramos does make any changes, because I think what we saw is a bit of an evolution in chemistry between Memo Rodriguez and Maxi Arruti. Maxi Arruti is very, very sly. He operates with guile. His movement isn't just to try to get himself on the ball. It's to try to move defenders. It's to try to open space for his fellow attackers. And Memo Rodriguez took full advantage of that. I think we saw Tyler Pascher develop just a little bit more. He's getting a little bit more confidence going. We know what Fafa Pico brings. We saw it, his pace, his 1v1, drawing fouls in and around the 18. So attacking-wise, I think the Dynamo were fantastic, with the one exception, and Tab Ramos mentioned this at halftime, not finishing off all of their chances. I think this could have been a little bit more easy of a victory for the Houston Dynamo if they were a little better in front of goal. But it is the first game of the season, so I don't want to be too critical there. But defensively, I don't think this is a very good San Jose team. And Marco Maric had to come up big a couple times. And it's just that chemistry. And, you know, Boniac Garcia, give him all the credit in the world. The guy doesn't really play center back, did a little bit in preseason, but had a fantastic night. Hopefully, for the Dynamo's sake, they can get some of these center backs healthy that are out, especially Minor Figueroa. and get these guys back and start building some continuity, because the one thing that has been true across every MLS team, across every MLS season, the more often you can put the same starting 11 out there, the more continuity there is, the better they perform. So hopefully
Eddie,
there are
something funny. Hey, something funny I want to tell you about Bonyac Garcia. I think around the country, some of the people saw the lineup and they thought, oh my God, the Dynamo are playing with three center backs in this game, because look, Bonyac Garcia's in there. They had no idea he was playing as a center back. That's number one. But we did, because we've seen preseason, and he played there a lot during preseason simply because people were injured. Now we'll see. We're going to ask Tab Ramos in the next segment about the things you just said, and you brought it up nicely, Eddie, about, okay, what changes, if any, are made in Portland? Because it is the road. It is obviously a team that I think is a better team. It's at home in Portland, the competition. So what happens? So that'll be very, very interesting to see, because of the great combination play that Memo Rodriguez and Arruti working off each other were doing. I love seeing Memo get into the space beyond Arruti, and I think it's tough for defenders. Portland Timbers, they've got a couple of changes, some outside backs. Juan Carlos Van Ranken, Bravo from Argentina is another important signing, and then a forward, Felipe Mora. But, man, I look at their midfield, Eddie. Eric Williamson, Diego Valeri, Diego Chara.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's one glaringly obvious person missing, and that's Sebastian Blanco.
I mean, coming back, but not ready, apparently.
Yeah, and I think you saw on the weekend, it was just kind of reinforced how important he is to that team going forward, and how difficult, when he's in the lineup, how difficult Portland is to play against, but how vulnerable they are when he's not in the lineup. And I think, you know, if you have to go to Portland and play in that environment against that team, no Sebastian Blanco is something that you're happy about. I'm looking forward to hopefully Memo Rodriguez starting again and seeing that matchup with Diego Chara, because I think he's going to be responsible for trying to take Memo out of the game, and he does a very good job of that with some of the best players in our league. And, you know, this is a really good opportunity for Memo to take it another step further in establishing himself in that position. But this is also a team in Portland that is so fast on the counterattack, and the way that the Dynamo love to get Adam Lundqvist and Zarek Valentin forward on those wings, and oftentimes at the same time, the Dynamo are going to have to be very, very careful about the counterattack, because Diego Valeri is so smart. They've got so much pace going forward. And even Diego Chara, he will join that counterattack, and he's got some pace. So that's the one thing that I'm curious to see. Again, if you sacrifice one of the midfielders for a Derek Jones because of his athleticism, because of his ability to win the ball and chase out to wide areas and cover for the outside backs, if that's a change that Tal Ramos decides to make.
Yeah, and we're talking to Eddie Robinson here ahead of our Quest broadcast. Our pregame show is at 9 o'clock Saturday night. 9:30 is when the game we get game on. So tune in. It's going to be a late, late show, but I hope you're going to tune in Portland, because the competition steps up for Tab Ramos and the Houston Dynamo. One thing I noticed watching the Portland game, Dairon Asprilla, who's always been a guy that was, you know, you always thought he was a bit of a live wire and you wondered where his focus was mentally. That guy now looks a lot more seasoned, mature, and focused, and has played well. You also have Diego Chara's brother now, Jimmy, playing up front in and around Felipe Mora. And these guys can fly, like Eddie said. They can fly, and then you got Valeri pulling strings from behind them. Chara's range of passing. So this is a dangerous team. Now, they do on Wednesday after the Dynamo have Club America. So Gio Savarese, in some ways, Eddie, after CONCACAF Champions League, they scored 7 goals against Marathon of Honduras. They may have one eye on Club America, because that'll be a historic match for them.
Oh, without question. I mean, this is something that I think MLS teams are starting to take more pride in, this CONCACAF Champions League tournament, because the league itself has for so long been getting a lot of flack about not being able to compete with the Mexican clubs, and this is an opportunity, and there's a lot of pride being taken there. So, well, as you point out, it's going to be interesting to see how much focus they put on that, and given that it's so early in the season, are their top players fit enough to go 90 minutes on Wednesday and then 90 minutes again against the Dynamo on Saturday? I think that's a fantastic talking point. And if, once that midweek game is over, maybe we can be a little bit more in tune with what Portland might do on the weekend. Will they try some rotation? Will they play players for 60 minutes, hoping they can get something out of this first game against Club America and then get their guys most of the minutes on Saturday? It's a great point that you bring up, and I'm really interested to see what happens in midweek.
Yeah, and they did rest Eric Williamson and Diego Valeri some against Vancouver, so there was a bit of that rotation going on. This is Gio Savarese going up against Tab Ramos. They were teammates at the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. If you remember, that's where we got a lot of the employees after the Metro Stars were sort of contracted. A lot of the employees of the Metro Stars, including Chris Canetti, then came down to Houston to be a part of the Dynamo. So that's kind of how that story went. But Tab Ramos and Gio Savarese, great friends, great respect, two very passionate coaches. You might say Gio on the sidelines a little bit more passionate as far as physically passionate and visibly passionate. But this is a big one, Eddie. And I think the Dynamo for sure do have to find their legs on the road this year. I mean, we've talked about it enough, but they have to get road points if they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and, you know, I think after last year, you know, all the hype going into the season, new coach, some new players, Darwin Quintero coming in, and to struggle as much as they did to win the first game against San Jose and then to have this schedule that the Dynamo have coming up is going to be really, really difficult. FC Dallas, Portland, LAFC, a week from Portland. This is the opportunity to really build some confidence. I mean, if there's anything in MLS that helps a team succeed, it's confidence. And the Dynamo, they've been really lacking that. And we saw Memo Rodriguez grow in confidence, Tyler Pascher grow in confidence, Maxi Urruti grow in confidence. I got to give Marco Maric some credit. He's been playing well throughout preseason and making some big-time saves. And so this is a Dynamo team that I think is on the brink, and it could go one way or the other this weekend. They could do really well, or they could lose this game, and there might be a snowball effect. So I think this game is so important for them.
All right, so we got Tab Ramos coming up. As Eddie mentioned, the schedule's at Portland, then it's LAFC back at home, then at FC Dallas, Sporting Kansas City, and then Colorado at altitude. So it is a very difficult schedule. There is no question about that. And you know what? As Eddie mentioned, you do want to see gradual improvement every game, and that's very important. Nobody's hitting all cylinders right now. We saw tremendous goals this past weekend. Chicharito seems to be back. Paul Marie's goal for San Jose. Memo's goal. Arruti's goal. Caden Clark. Joao Paulo of Seattle. Rui Diaz. Great opening weekend for Major League Soccer, and we got more to come this weekend. We will have the coverage of Dynamo Portland on Quest 55. All right, Eddie, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate your insight.
I always appreciate it, Glenn. Thank you very much.
All right, and I'll see you Saturday night. You better be there. I don't want to do that game by myself. And on the other hand, as we go to break right now, we got Tab Ramos coming up, and I will ask him in this interview about what's going to happen if there will be changes going into Portland. We'll take a break. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.